Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus. So, we're going to turn to the book of Colossians tonight, chapter 3 and verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, Jacob will have it behind us. I ask everyone to stand to their feet as we read this scripture. Everybody, unless you're crippled, unable. It's just one little verse. Let's honor the word of the Lord as we read the scripture. It is a tradition that I like this tradition very much. So, how about we read this together? Can we read this together? It's on the screen, so let's just kind of do it like we do an offering prayer here. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I'm going to read that last phrase again. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Lord, I'm asking that revelation could come to somebody tonight. And you would touch each and every person here, God. I believe if somebody will grasp some principles I'm going to teach today, God, that it will change their entire life. It will change their life. And God, I believe it's going to change those who are around them because people are going to want to be around them. And people will gravitate to this individual if they'll grasp what I'm going to teach today. And it's going to change their families. It's going to change the workplace. It's going to change their schools, everything about their life. I ask you to touch and let somebody receive this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I wonder if you may recognize this line from a very famous movie. But Thanksgiving is more than eating, Chuck. You heard what Linus was saying out there. Those pilgrims were thankful for what had happened to them. And we should be thankful too. We should just be thankful for being together. I think that's what they mean by Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown. If you don't know, that's from the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and that was Marcy speaking to Charlie Brown. This week, we are going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Is anybody going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week? Anybody going to eat turkey, ham, dressing? What about cranberry? Anybody like cranberry out there? I like cranberry. I used to not like it. I like it now. Yeah. So, how many loves Thanksgiving? Anybody? I love Thanksgiving. I got a question tonight. Have you ever went to all the cooks after Thanksgiving, you got done eating, and you told them thank you? I heard a yes. I heard a few yes. I see some no's. I have a better question. Do you ever thank those who cooks for you on a daily basis? Cleans for you. Washes your clothes. Make sure that you have certain things done in your house. Do you ever thank them? Tonight, I'm going to talk for a few moments on this question. What says thank you? What says thank you? What you got up there for me, Jake? Good. There's a proverb that says, give thanks for a little, and you'll find a lot. We, as a nation, have become not so much about Thanksgiving, but a whole lot more about unthankfulness. Here's the scary thing. Listen, I'm telling you, if somebody catches what I tell you tonight, your life's going to change. And not only your life, everybody that comes around you, their life's going to change. People are going to want to be around you if you'll catch the principle I'm fixing to teach you tonight. All right? I said earlier, sometimes some people in the church make me feel uncomfortable. I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable tonight. And that's for a reason. Because here's the scary thing. We live in a very unthankful generation, but that unthankfulness is a real sign of what? Telling us that we're living in the very last days. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "In this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves." You know what makes somebody love their own self? Somebody who's unthankful for the things around them. They will be covetous. You know what covetous is? Covetous is, you have something I don't have and I want it. Bad enough, I could hurt you to get it. Okay? Boasters. You know what that is? Look what I got and you don't got. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedience to parents. Any of you disobey your parents out there? I wish I could disobey mine still because they're not alive. There's the alternative to it. And here's the one I'm going to get to. Unthankful. Everybody say unthankful. There's a lot more there and I'm not going to talk about that. But I believe the enemy of our soul is the devil. He's using unthankfulness and ingratitude to destroy our church and destroy people's lives. I believe he's using a false image of happiness to make you unthankful. Social media. Everybody say social media. That covers a lot of ground there. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, all kinds of things out there. All these venues are giving a false sense of what you should be thankful for. In other words, if you don't have the newest phone and you've got maybe two or three generations behind it, or God forbid, even six generations behind on a phone, then you should be very unthankful for what you got. But this is what's being pushed. And you know good and well, some of us sitting in this place today, because you don't have the newest phone, you feel like you're less than somebody else. So, this keeps us from one of the most powerful weapons God has given us, which is called thanksgiving. Now, I didn't know this till this week, but now then they're even teaching out there now that Thanksgiving, our traditional Thanksgiving that we have, didn't even happen. I didn't know that to this year. You know why? Because in my mind, I can't fathom the fact that anybody would not believe the foundation of our earth, the foundation of our nation, and they're trying to get rid of that. You know why that is? Because one of the original traditions of Thanksgiving was everybody sat around their table and they retold the story of Thanksgiving, of the very first Thanksgiving. And now we don't have people doing that no more. All right? I'm going to do some base teaching. I'm going to get into some things that's going to make us feel a little uncomfortable, okay? But if you'll listen to me, I'm going to help somebody. But Thanksgiving, whether it happened in America or not, is real because it's what we're supposed to be, is thankful for what God has given us. Thankful for the blessings of life. Does anybody know what Psalms 100 and verse 4 says? I started, what's it? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name. We're supposed to enter through these gates. We don't have gates like they did in Old Testament. We have these doors. We're supposed to enter in through them doors thankful that we're in the house of God. Amen. What says thank you? That's my question tonight. What says thank you? See, we come to the house of God and we live every day more focused on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And unthankfulness and ingratitude is going to destroy our world. Do me a favor. draw me some nice picture real quick. Can you do that? Do it. Just draw me something real quick. I'll talk. Go ahead. I don't know. Just draw pictures. Just something you like. All right? Just draw. I don't care what it is. Just draw me a picture. You got your notebook. Just draw it. So let's talk about what says thank you. All right? Your mouth. That just says your mouth. What is that?
Hopefully your heart.
I don't, you got to be a masterpiece. Just kind of draw me something real quick if you don't care. What says thank you? Now, there's a lot of power in saying thank you. Now, I done it on purpose, but I really meant it from my heart. He does. He says thank you a lot. Can you say thank you, Corbin? Can you say thank you, Corbin? For those of you in media world, this is my grandson I'm talking to here. So, but when you come through the door today, on purpose, I made sure I shook your hand, hug your neck, and I said thank you for being here. Does anybody recognize that? Did that make anybody feel good? Hopefully it did. We got my picture done yet? Oh, you're helping out too? Okay. All right. Texas thought it was weird. I was like, what did I do? Okay. What says thank you? Oh, this you get a picture? Oh, wow. Thanks. Okay. So I just want you to think about it. What? Bethany saw it coming, but you didn't. See, I told her thank you. Did I not?
No, you said thanks.
Okay, thanks, whatever. I said thanks. Thank you.
Different than thank you.
But here's my question to you, sweetheart. If I'd said thanks or thank you, if I hadn't dropped it in the floor, we wouldn't have this conversation right now, would we? If I'd tuck it and I said, oh, this is great. And I showed it to everybody. See, thank you. Absolutely. Even though I said thank you. Even though I said thank you. And it's actually a really good picture. They done a good job. See, they're good. Oh, y'all got to sign it. Where? Okay. I'll put that with the rest of my pictures I got and stuff. Absolutely. I have all kinds of pictures of stuff that people's given me because I appreciate it. Okay, listen. Now let's go a little farther. What says thank you when you come to the house of God to God? All right? I'm going to tell you what. I want to tell you what. Listen to me. I want to tell you what says. It says, I am ungrateful. I don't know who, and I'm not exactly sure. But when I got here at church, I picked up a peppermint right over here off the floor. I picked up another piece of candy right back here off the floor. I picked up a lot of trash in different places where people sit. You know what says thank you to God? That when service is over, all this candy wrappers that's on this right here has been picked up. You know what that tells God? I really do appreciate being able to come to the house of God. Let me tell you what else says thank you to God. All right? You see this area up here? I'm telling you, I'm going to teach something to you tonight that's going to change your world if you'll catch this. You see this area up here? Anybody see this? Anybody know what this is called? This is called the altar. This is not a playground. For adults or children alike, this is a place where lives are changed. Amen. And when you come up here, it becomes a place that you just play and you don't pay attention. What you're saying to God is, you may be saying, I thank you for being here. But our actions tells whether we're really thankful or not. You're absolutely right, sweetheart. Actions speak louder than words. What says thank you? Because here's the thing. You can, this Thanksgiving, you can go to your Thanksgiving meal. I encourage you to sincerely, if you eat something, and it's really good. You should tell that person, hey, I really like that dish. Thank you for fixing it. If it's a family member that does it all the time, you always like, you know what? I always look forward to this dish. I really like this. You know what? Somebody needs to buy me a mic. Still working on, okay. You're fine. Go ahead. But seriously, I come here on a mission to help somebody. Let's go farther than that. Well, I have a lot of different things. Let me see where I want to go to with this. William Arthur Ward. Anybody know him? I heard the name, because I've used this quote several times. A complaining reveals an ungrateful heart. Huh? I'm going to have two problems. I like to walk around. We'll deal with it. Let me read it again. A complaining tongue reveals an ungrateful heart. When you complain, you're being ungrateful. Amen. What does ungrateful mean? Anybody know? I use words sometimes. You don't appreciate it. All right? You're not thankful. You know, Bethany practices and gets ready for songs. She does a great job with the music. But maybe she sings a song that you don't like and you complain about it. You know what you'll do? You'll complain about the one song you don't like. You may not ever tell her about the good song she likes. We're geared to complain. We're geared to be unthankful. How many times do you walk into your house and you flip your light switch on and say, "Thank you, I have lights."
Anybody ever?
How many times it didn't work and you grumbled and complained about it?
Huh?
You know what that tells me? You're more focused on the ungrateful part of it than you are the thankful part of it. Because even though it happens repeatedly over and over and over, you're not willing to say, "Hey, Mom and Dad, thank you," or whoever it is pays your bill. "I appreciate you having paying the electric bill that we can have in our house." Oh, I'm going to have to stay up here with this thing, aren't I? Somebody besides y'all need to hear this. Hey, Jagan, come here, bud.
Change your battery. I think that's what it is. The battery's going down.
Okay, let me go on and get where I kind of want to go, a little farther. Anybody see what I'm saying? What says thank you here? If you're complaining about things, your disrespect. Let's go there. Disrespect is not saying thank you. So when we come to the house of God, now somebody was running earlier. This sanctuary should not be a place that anybody runs unless you're in the spirit. Because if you are, you're disrespecting it. You're tearing things up. You get done with. I'm gonna tell you, I've cleaned the church off and on all my entire life. When we were the youth pastor at Star Bethlehem, the youth was supposed to clean the church. Well, guess who ended up cleaning the church? Me and my wife. Majority of the time. And I'd get so frustrated because I'd say certain places that people would sit, I'd have to pray about, "Lord, you got to help me." Certain places that people sit, I knew where they sit at. I know where usually everybody sits. And I'd be cleaned up. I'm like, "Oh, I don't think clean up." But you can find little pieces of paper stuck inside the back of the pews. Now, I'm telling you this for a reason today. I'm trying to teach you something. If you take a piece of paper and you get done with your gum or whatever and you shove it down in them seats, you know what you're saying? You're not saying thank you. You're being ungrateful. Think about that today. You know what? Some may not have the best spouse or they might not have the best husband. But you know what? You can make a difference in them yourself. You know how you do that? Or even
Kids, you may think you don't got the best parent. You may not have the best brother or the best sister, but you can make a difference in them. You know how you can make a difference in them? You become a thankful person. Because a thankful person changes people around them. Because negative is contagious. Anybody know that? We're going to hope this works better. Negative is contagious. You sit around somebody that's negative for long, guess what happens? Don't get it too wrapped up, man. Yep, it's already cutting out. If you sit around negative people very long, guess what's happened? You'll get negative. Exactly. And if you become somebody who's thankful and grateful, guess what happens? That's also contagious. And if you start being that person that maybe they're not the best spouse, whatever. Maybe they're not the best spouse, or they're not the best this, or whether it's a spouse, or brother, or sister. If you can begin to be nice and just be thankful and have what I'm trying to say here, what says thank you, and you just begin to say, you know what, I'm going to begin to be nice to people, and I'm going to thank them. And I'm going to have a heart and attitude that no matter what is going on in my life, I'm going to be thankful for where I am and believe that God's going to make things better in my life. It will change you. And in turn, there will be people that want to start hanging out with you. So hear me. Let me give you a few things of what being thankful does. Okay? Number one, being thankful opens the door for more relationships. How does that work? Because if you're a thankful person, that means you're a positive person. That means people don't care to be around you because you're not grumbling, you're not griping, you're not negative. And more people will want to be around you. But if you're a negative person, now, let's be honest. We've all had them people that's real negative, and you've done everything you could do to get away from them. Amen. You didn't want to sit around them. You didn't want to hang around with them. You didn't want to be around them. So being a grumbler and a complainer makes you not have as many relationships. But if you're a thankful person, all the signs that goes with a thankful person is their whole entire outlook is better. Because now let's say science lets us know that thankfulness improves physical health. Oh yeah, y'all done it up good for me. All right. Now thank you very much. See, I'll put it right in here. And I got a drawer at home. I'll end up putting it in. Yeah. I had another one in here I was going to show you, but I don't see it right now. But thankfulness improves physical health. If you're somebody who's really thankful, your whole entire outlook's better. You won't stress as much because you're not so negative. Your outlook on life will be better. And all that in turn, guess what it does? It improves your psychological health. Psychologically, you think better because you're not always looking at negativeness and you're not always blah and dreary, and you've got more relationships, more people to tap into your life and have different relationships that makes you feel psychologically you feel better because you're thankful. And people know when they get around you, you're not fake. Just like I said, oh, thanks, and I dropped it. How many times have you've done something for somebody and then you can tell they don't appreciate what I've done for them whatsoever?
Amen.
And it's like, yeah, a while ago, right? Okay. Thankfulness improves empathy. Anybody know what that is? Compassion. And it reduces aggression. You look at somebody, you have more compassion towards somebody else, and you're not as aggressive. It lets you not be as angry as much. Okay? How about this? Thankful people sleep better. All right, I'm going to give you science here for a second. Writing in a gratitude journal, huh?
That doesn't count when you pass the praise for you.
Yeah, that's different too. It says that according to a 2011 study published by Applied Psychology, published in Applied Psychology, Health and Well-Being. If you'll spend 15 minutes jotting down a few things that you're thankful for before you go to bed, science says you'll sleep better and longer. So simply put is that at the end of the day, instead of thinking about all the negative things, pick two or three things that you are very thankful for. Write it down. If you don't like to write, jot it down on your phone. Text it to yourself and delete it. Okay, you're getting it out, basically what you're doing. It'll make you sleep better. Okay? Thankfulness improves self-esteem. Studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. And rather than being resentful towards people who have more money or better jobs, which is a big factor in reduced self-esteem, thankful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. What's that mean? You can see somebody else is blessed, and you're glad that they're being blessed. And you're not wanting what they got. These are some simple things. If every one of us could just start every day having this mindset, I'm going to be a thankful person, because my whole entire life will be better. It says it increases mental strength, okay? Because when you're unwilling to say thank you and have gratitude, unwilling to discipline ourselves to become a grateful person, because it takes us deciding, I'm going to be grateful. Because you know what's inbred in us from the time we're born? We see it in Corbin. We see it in all these young kids. Man, take it, run with it. They're selfish. But as Corbin says, thank you a lot. He may not totally understand it, what it is, but you have to teach him to say thank you. You've got to discipline yourself, teach yourself, get in the habit that says, you know what? I'm going to start telling people thank you and really mean it from my heart when people do something nice for me. And when you train yourself to do that, something's going to happen in you, and you're mentally going to be a better person. Because if you don't, now this is where everybody needs to key in and listen to me. You may be kind of shutting me out or whatever, thinking, well, this is, I'm not going to be thankful. Now I'm going to tell you why. You better be thankful. Because there's a huge danger. Yeah, ultimately, yes, ma'am. But before you get there, it's going to get bad. Pull it up, Jagan. Romans 1 and 20. And this is where we're going to feel uncomfortable. Okay? For the invisible things of him. Anybody know what who him is? Jesus. From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Basically, this is saying who he is very clearly seen. That they are without excuse. What he's saying here, he's simply saying this. For the invisible things of him, we're saying when you see who he is, you should be able to easily see who God is. He's the creator of everything. That they are without excuse. Now listen what it says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Everybody say they weren't thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Leave it there. So what we're seeing here is when people didn't recognize that every good and perfect gift that we have in life comes down from God. Everything good in your life is coming from God. So if you have food on your table, that's coming from God. If you have any kind of good health, that's coming from God. Anything, okay? And if you don't recognize that and let God know, Lord, I was talking about thanking people. Now let's talk about thanking God. When you don't recognize and start saying, God, I thank you for all the good things you've done in my life. Here's the danger. What happens? You become unthankful. And they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So what is this saying? But David, what this is saying, when we become not thankful and we don't appreciate the things that God has done, all of a sudden your imagination begins to wander. Your imagination begins to darken. So what? Let me put this an example, okay? So you've got food on your table. Let's take it to where our levels are. You've got a 10-year-old of adults. You've got a 10-year-old vehicle. It's not brand new. You got a 10-year-old vehicle. What? That's right. But that's not how we always look at it.
Yeah. And if it is broken, and it still gets you from point A to point B, you better be thankful for it.
And what happens, if God's allowing you what you have and you're not being thankful, because here's the thing, the more you thank somebody, the more they'll do for you. Okay? Now, what happens if you go home and you're whoever cooked your food, and you say, thank you for supper. It's going to make them want to cook your supper again. But if you don't say thank you, it's going to make them not want to cook your supper. So then the same principle works with God. When you don't tell him thank you for good health, then he may not let you have good health. Thank you for my good mom or my good dad or my good spouse. If you're not careful, they may not be that. Because what you think, you end up getting more of. And this is what's happened. Not thanking God, and this began banning their imagination. So they start thinking, well, I don't got what Joe's got. I don't got what Susie's got. And your vain imagination begins to get darkened, and you begin to almost like, well, I don't have anything. And anybody sitting in here today, you're more blessed than the majority of this world. Amen. And we take it for granted. And the vain imaginations begin to darken. Now, some of you in here today, well, let's talk about the young people a second. You may have some horrible homes. You may have come out of some bad situations. You may even be in an abusive situation. Some of you might have been violated. I'll use it that way. Your person has been violated. And I know that's not the ideal situation in your life. But if somehow you can not think about that and you can start thinking about, I do get to go to church. I get to ride to church. And you start thanking God for everything, the good is around you. And what happens if you don't, you'll start having a vain imagination. Well, I'm no good. I'm not blessed. And your imagination begins to darken. Little by little, it gets darker and darker because you're not looking at the good things and you're concentrating on the bad things. Let's go to the next scripture. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What's this saying? All of a sudden, we change God, who's uncorruptible, and we treat him like he's a corruptible man. God is always good.
Yeah.
Always. And somebody says, well, how come a good God lets bad things happen? God don't do that. He gives us free will and choice. And it's the bad choices of other people that puts us in bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
The bad choices of other people puts us in bad situations. Some of you are in a bad situation because of a spouse or a mom and dad or a brother or sister or somebody that's over. That's not your fault, and it's not God's fault. But if we're not careful, oh, it died on us. All right, we'll turn that off. We didn't charge the... You going to use your phone?
I'm going to see if it works.
Okay. We'll just ignore that for a second. Anybody see where I'm at here, what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Does it make any sense? There you go. That looks better. Charlie Brown. I'm not done with this because I'm going to take it farther. I'm going to take it on down to where a lot of us are living right now. Okay, here's the verse. I picked it back up. Where was that? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image of God, the image made like in the corruptible man, the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, now let me say a little more about this. Get the picture. Because it first started because they was unthankful. They were not looking at the goodness of God. And it became vain imagination, got darker and darker and darker. And all of a sudden making God equal to man. And God's not equal to man. God is good. And when we thank God and praise God and give Him worship and glory like we're supposed to, He reciprocates that back down to us. Just like if you was to be telling somebody every day, thank you for what you're doing. I promise you, you tell somebody thank you enough, they're going to keep bringing that back to you. Good deal. Amen. All right, let's go to the next scripture because this is where it gets tough. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now you look where being unthankful has tucked somebody. All of a sudden they got dark in their imaginations and they begin to make God like man, incorruptible. And now then he's saying, okay, finally it gets to the point where God says, okay, that's fine. I'll let you do your uncleanliness through your lust of your own hearts. You doing what you want to do. You living the way you want to live. All right? And change to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So all of a sudden it starts dishonoring yourself with somebody else through all kinds of vain things. We'll get to that in a second. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. Amen. Leave it right there. So what's happening here through these vain imaginations, not being thankful, not making God, saying, God, I know all this bad stuff's not coming from you, but there's good things in my life, and I thank you for the good things. It's taking this person now they've changed the truth of God in the life. What's this mean? That means the truth of God is that He loves me, and He saved me, and no matter what I'm going through, He's going to keep on reaching for me and loving me. But instead, they start worshiping, serving the creature. And a lot of times, the creature they serve is themselves. They serve their own desires. They serve their own wants. They do what they want to do. It doesn't matter what Brother Orton says or any other preacher or mom and dad. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. They do what they want to do. Give me the next one because this is where it's going to get iffy. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Now listen to this. We hear this enough everywhere else, but you're going to hear it from the Word of God. You're going to hear the truth of it from the Word of God. For the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know what this is? This is homosexuality. Amen. You say, where's it at in the Bible? This is it. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men working with men, or men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of this their error, which was met. You want to know where homosexuality is in the Bible? Here it is. And it started. Now, it's in the Old Testament. This is the New Testament, okay? It started with somebody that wasn't thankful for what God gave them. In their vain imagination run wild, and they served their own lusts and their own desires. And then the next thing you know, look what happened. God never designed it that way. Now, I told you it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. And the reason I'm doing this is because a lot of times I'm uncomfortable with things that happens. And I don't want to be uncomfortable standing before God someday and saying, you didn't teach them and you let the world teach them. But this is the Bible. Let's go farther. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God ends up saying, okay, you don't want to thank me. You don't want to see me as God. You don't want to realize I love you and I'm not causing all these bad things to happen in your life. You do what you want to do. And He turns them over to a reprobate mind. Being filled. Now that's not the only thing. He used that for an example, okay? Because it also produces these other things as well. Being filled with all unrighteousness, everything that goes against the Bible. What is righteousness? Righteousness is living according to what the Bible says. If the Bible says it's a sin, that makes it unrighteousness. If he says it's okay, that means it's righteous. Righteous living. So all unrighteousness. And then he starts naming some of it. Fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. If you're not married, it leads to this. It leads to that spot. Wickedness. That covers all kinds of things. I didn't go through with all these definitions we'll give them to. Covetousness. That's that thing I was talking about, Ellie, earlier with you, sweetheart. It's like, I don't appreciate what I got. I want what you got. Jealousness, it drives us. Huh?
All evil.
All evil. I haven't broke it down. No, there's some other things covers that. So, maliciousness. That's just deceitful, ornery. Just, I'm malicious towards you. Full of envy. And a lot of these kind of intermingle with each other and they piggyback off each other, okay? Murder. We know what murder is, right? But murder goes farther than killing somebody with a gun. It's destroying somebody's spirit. Debate. Debate. You know what? Debate. That goes into a lot of stuff we see on Facebook. There's some things on Facebook, social media, you just need to leave alone. Just get out of it. Deceit. Say the word for me.
Malignity.
Yeah, malignity. I don't know exactly off the top, off the cuff. I'll tell you what it will do. Let me look it up here real quick. I got a Bible dictionary. I'm just being real here tonight. I'm telling you, I'm hoping I can somebody look what I'm saying tonight and it can maybe change your entire world and make us realize. Here, I got the definitions right here. So. Evil-mindedness is the definition I have here. Whisperers. It's the next one. Whisperers. A whisperer is a secret slanderer. A detractor. Yeah. Backbiters. That's pretty self-plain. Haters of God. And that goes a long way. That's hating anything that God wants. Proud. Boasters. Despiteful, I'm sorry. That's violent.
Proud? Like you think you're better than everybody else.
Proud. Showing oneself above others. Okay. Boasters. An empty pretender. A boaster is an empty pretender. That's what the Bible dictionary says for that. Inventors of evil things. I think we shall know what that pretty much is. You bring that. You just like you create evil things. Disobedient to parents. Okay. Without understanding, covenant breakers. That means you're not committed to anything. You can break any covenant. Without natural affections. This goes in a lot of things that we got going on right now in our world.
And even those who just like don't love their kids.
Yeah. All kinds of weird stuff. This stuff that doesn't make sense. It's just, that's not natural. I mean, an animal takes care of his kids most of the time. But anyway. Implacable.
What's that?
Unforgiving. Amen. Unmerciful. Okay, go to the next one. We'll be, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and only do the same, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now let me take this to...
For all these people who keep on talking about Jeffrey Dahmer like him.
Here you go. Exactly.
Watching these, the Kardashian crap you see on TV.
Yeah. Well,
Let's take it farther than that. A lot of this crazy stuff we watch on television. Anything that's on that list, it would do you well to go back and look at it. And if you're laughing and having a good time watching it, he said, look, don't even have pleasure in that. So that's some staff stuff, okay? Now, let me say this. Now, and we're in a little bit of teach mode here, and I'm fine with, because you're all engaged. I'm good with this. But here's the thing I want to say. All that stuff I just read, is that like rampant in our world right now?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me read this other scripture here again, okay? This first one, I didn't read all of it. I'm going to read it one more time, and I got one more scripture out of this, and I'll be done. This is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know what that tells me? All that stuff we just read is the time we're reading. Amen. From Romans, even to that part I just read there. We are living in the last days. How long is these last days going to last? I don't know. I believe Jesus could come any moment. Very well. According to how, you know, we talk about tribulation stuff, whether it's pre, post, or mid-trib, if he's coming before the tribulation, that means right now. If it means after the tribulation, it could be 7 to 8 years.
Folks, that's not very long.
And who says you're going to live to make it that long? So I want us to realize that if we could believe, I believe that the enemy is trying to get us to be so unthankful. And what I'm trying to do tonight is get somebody to realize you can find good in your life somewhere. And if you will, and you'll start picking every good thing you can, I would challenge some of you. You got a notebook right there. Them notebooks don't cost very much. I would guess most everybody has notebooks laying around all over your house. If you don't, we get enough junk mail that Brother Dave brings to our house. We can use the back of the envelopes. And write on the back of the envelopes. Every day, you can start writing down. Put it in your phone notes. Everything you can think of that you're thankful for. And I promise you, you're right. But this is the thing. As bad as some of the lives of people that's setting this place today, some of you should not have went through the things you've went through. You should not be going through what you're going through right now. But in spite of that, you can find something good. Amen. And if you can focus on that, and the reason you're having trouble with it, because the devil wants you to think about the bad stuff. Because when you do, you change the image of God into something else. Amen. And the next thing, your imagination becomes vain and all that stuff happens to your life. One more scripture and I'm done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Now then, let's talk about that for a second. How do you give thanks in a bad situation? Now, I know many of you know the story, and if you don't, let me briefly tell it. A week ago, Sunday, was 28 years ago, that my dad got killed in a hunting accident. My grandfather accidentally shot him while they went hunting. My dad, they put him on the operating table. He opened him up, and my dad bled out in a matter of minutes because the bullet shredded the inside of him. I was 23 years old, been married a year and a half. How do you give God thanks in that? You've lived it. You know, right? You've lived it. It's not easy. I struggled with it. I'll be honest with you. Because, see, I had a really good dad. Especially that 6 months of my dad's life. He was an incredible, got closer to God. I seen him do things I never seen him do in church. And he got up behind the pulpit. And my dad was such a unique voice, incredible voice. And he'd get up, and his timing was horrible. Hate to play drums with him, but man, he could sing. But he'd get up and almost like he's preaching and like, wow, this is my dad. And he got killed. How do you give thanks in that? I had to finally settle my mind. Okay, God, I had a good dad for 23 years of my life. Never heard him say a cuss word but once. And never mistreated my mom. I had to start thinking about all the good things that he'd done and not all the things of he never seen my children. He never knew I preached. He never knew I started a church. He never knew I was taking care of two churches. He never seen. Instead of thinking about those things, I had to start, okay, God, I thank you for what you did give me, my dad. In 28 years removed, I can see better today why my dad passed away. Because the church that I was a part of at that time went through some bad stuff that my dad might have lost. I'm not sure he could have handled the church issues that we went through. He might have got offended to walk away from God. Whether that's so or not, in my mind, I'm having to settle. Okay, I'm giving you thanks for the good part of it and not the bad. And honey, I know you've lived it. And the only thing you can do right now is think about all the good things that you've been through with your dad. And anybody else in here that's any type of situation like that. And you may be sitting in a situation right now where whatever the case may be, you think about all the good things and you thank God in them good things. How do you thank God when a child dies at 6 months old or stillborn? How do you thank God for that? You can search it and you can find their stories. There's mothers that's actually has overcome them type of things. And they're so positive and real. What about the, I can't think of the guy's name. What should I think about? He was born with no arms and no legs. What's his name? That's it. Yeah, he's incredible. The dude's incredible. He drives, he swims, he surfs. Now, a lot of us, if we was born like that, some people would look at it the other way and look at it as a curse. That I was born this way. But instead, he chose it as, Lord, you created me different. And I thank you for the way you created me. Because here's the danger. Here's the danger of unthankfulness. When you start thinking, being unthankful, you start looking at yourself. And you think, I'm incomplete. God created me wrong. And we start changing ourselves. We start changing the way we look. We start doing all this kind of thing. And when you do, you know what you're really doing? What says thank you? When you start changing things that shouldn't be changed in your life, your body, you're telling God, you didn't do a very good job in my life. But instead, if we can embrace the fact. Now, and let's don't go here. Let's don't go to this place that says, well, I was created. I was born a male, but I was supposed to be a female. Well, guess what? He had a remedy for that. Because if he created you a male, he intended for you to be male. If he created you a female, he intended for you to be a female. And if you say I was born that way, he made a remedy for that to line you back up to the Word of God. It's called being born again. And when you're born again, it brings you back into a spiritual mindset that you go back to how God originally created you. Okay? I'm telling you, I know I'm going to make us feel uncomfortable tonight, but I'm also, if somebody will catch this and listen to me, your life's going to change. Amen. You're going to change your family tree. You could go back. You can change your household. You can change your school. You can change your workplace because somebody's going to look at you and realize something's different. Something's happened to you. Amen. Because when you become thankful and you begin to thank God, you begin to thank everybody around you, you're in the will of God. And there's nothing in this world any more important than being in the will of God. So the next time you get ready to post that thing on social media, that's a big old negative thing, you better think about it. If I post that, I'm out of the will of God. If I'm being negative, I'm out of the will of God. The next time you begin to complain about things in your life, you better think about this scripture because, and I've been out of God's will so many times about complaining, especially lately. I'll just be honest with you. I'm being real and transparent. But we need to think about this scripture. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God.
You remember what Brother White said when the last time he was here?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother White was here in 2021. He prophesied and basically said that God was weary with ungratefulness. And he was going to bring judgment. And our church has been through a lot of judgment since then. Because I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to turn this off so it don't go there. I've had. You can change that. You can change that. I have one quote. Bethany, I'd like you to come play and sing something. Alice Walker said, "Thank you is the best prayer that anyone can say." I say it. I say that one a lot. Thank you expresses extreme gratitude, humility, and understanding. I'm going to hand this over to her. And this is what I'm going to challenge you to do. If the only prayer you can pray every day is a prayer of thank you, you don't know how to pray, let me tell you, this is a simple way to do it. Every day you just, whether you say it in your mind, you say it audibly, or you write it down on paper, and you begin to thank God for every good thing. Now let me take it farther. Okay? Let me take it just one step farther. You know you've graduated to a place of God is really helping you when you start thanking Him for your trials. You start thanking Him for the troubles. As bad as I hate and I miss my daddy, my daddy dying, it's one reason I'm preaching. Because pressing every day in the world, I prayed this prayer. Prayers you didn't know you prayed. God, whatever it takes for me to do your will, let it be done. My brother, 3 months before my dad died, got killed, a prophet laid his hand on my brother. At that time, my brother was preaching, but he was living a crazy, haphazard life, even as a preacher. A prophet laid his hand on my brother. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. If you don't grow up and start living," this is paraphrasing, went exactly like this, but something along these lines. "If you don't grow up and start living for God, I'm going to take something dear from your life." Now, did God take my dad just for my brother or just for me to get closer? I'd say not. But He knew it was coming. And He used them situations to draw us closer to God. Jacob laying on the floor praying. What was your prayer, Jacob? Jacob said, "Lord, I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering." In the first of 2019, in jail before that month was over. And most of you guys know the hell he went through in 2019. Did he hate it? Yes, he hated it. Would he take it away? In some ways he would. In some ways that he probably would tell you no.
I needed that to make me who I am today. Sometimes God allows you to go through things that makes you stronger. Okay? All right. I'm done.